And now let's hear another story, this time from Failure Lab Grand Rapids.
My failure. My failure. My divorce.
I felt totally bamboozled.
And I thought, this has to end. I can't do this anymore.
Here's Katie Corrales.
I grew up in a place where people didn't just live, they achieved. Most of the adults I knew didn't work somewhere, they were something. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an engineer. Our collective infinitive verb form was to be. So the question, what do? Actually meant, who are you? None of this concerned me very much because I always knew what I was going to do when I grew up. I was going to make a difference. See, I'd also grown up with a strong sense of everything I'd been given and no question that I would someday give back. So when I graduated from the University of Michigan at 22, I decided to join Teach for America, an organization that recruits recent college graduates to go and teach for 2 years in underserved or low-income areas. The application and interview process was rigorous, and when I was chosen, I felt like I'd finally realized my life's calling. I'd always wanted to be a teacher, and finally that dream was becoming a reality. So I packed everything I owned into my little Grand Am, and I moved over 2,000 miles to Phoenix, Arizona, to begin my career teaching high school English. And it felt good, if not a little strange, when people asked, what do you do? To say, I'm a teacher. I knew it was going to be the most challenging thing I'd ever set out to do. I just did not have any idea what that meant. I began working over 80 hours a week to try to be prepared for the 150 teenagers in whose futures I'd just invested stock. 150 students, each at their own level, with their own needs and their own hopes. A student who came to school early every morning to get extra help with her work, and a student who needed the directions repeated slowly because her English wasn't very good. A student who wrote essays about wanting to be the first in his family to go to college, to not go to prison. And a student who sat in the first row, and one day when I was particularly frustrated with a common misspelled word, and I told my class, awesome, has an E at the end, and I wrote it in big letters on the board. He blurted out, since when? And I so professionally responded, since always. I wanted to give them everything. My students would leave at the end of the day, and I would sit at my desk and I would cry. And I felt that no matter how much I cried, the desert earth would swallow my tears and ask for more. Just like no matter how much of myself I gave to my students, they were always going to need more. It was never going to be enough. The panic attack started almost immediately. And I don't think that panic attack is really the right description because it's my understanding that those are isolated episodes. And for me, once the anxiety set in, it was so pervasive and so unrelenting that I seemed to be living in a constant state of panic. My heart would race all day, and I'd fall into bed at night to sleep for the 4 hours I had time for, and I'd wake up with a start, always in the middle of a nightmare. You'll want to know what happened. You'll have questions, for which my only answer will be yes. Yes, I was too young. Yes, I was too inexperienced. Yes, I was too far from home. Yes, I was too naive, too hopeful, too tired, and I didn't have enough time, and I didn't have enough sleep, and I didn't have enough tears, or enough energy, or enough fortitude. When I tell this story, I want to give my students guns or knives, some tangible threat that could induce such panic and fear, a problem easier to imagine than the quiet violence of teenagers who can't write in complete sentences or read their textbooks, who come to school hungry for attention, for knowledge, for success. There's a kind of fear that comes from being new at a job, and a kind of fear that comes from being away from everything familiar. And then there's a kind of fear that comes from looking into the eyes of 150 kids and seeing that we live in a world that has not given them the chance they deserve. One day during my prep hour, I picked up the phone in my classroom, and I called an emergency mental health hotline. And I told them, I'm having severe panic attacks, and I need someone to help me. It was the first time in my life that I truly learned what it meant to ask for help. While I'd always been a worrier, I'd never been an overly anxious person, and I found that the scariest thing about panic is how intensely irrational it is. When the therapist asked me about suicidal thoughts, it seemed so bizarrely off base, because while I had no real intentions of harming myself, I felt certain there was simply no way I'd continue living until the next day. I started seeing a therapist twice a week, and with her support, I was able to make the decision to quit my job. It felt like I'd been fighting forever, but in the end, I would spend less than 10 weeks as a teacher. What do you do? Sometimes, I sit very still in the very center of my bed. I pull my knees to my chest, and I slowly smooth the sheets away from me with the palms of my hands, and I try to keep the world from falling apart.
That was Katie Corrales telling her story of failure. You can find out more about Failure Lab and hear more stories at failure-lab.com.